Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the move to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I'm welcomed in by my co-host, Stephen Devo Deaton. What's up, Stephen?
What's going on?
Man, how you doing this week, man?
Man, doing good. Weeks are starting to roll by pretty swiftly these days.
Yeah, I mean, we're through, what is it, 4 weeks, 5 weeks now?
Week four in the books. Is this four or five?
Maybe five.
Week five in the books, yeah.
Jeez. Oh, man, so Stephen, to open up the episode, man, I told this guy I'd give him a shout-out. So shout-out to our league mate, Adam, who this is the first time I've ever seen somebody win a Superflex league without a starting quarterback. And he didn't play a chump either. He actually played the reigning champion last year. And so shout out Adam for winning a Superflex matchup with zero quarterbacks. I told him I'd give him that little shout out at the beginning of the episode.
It'd be more impressive if he does it consistently. 1 week is nothing. Just keep doing it.
Consistently with no quarterbacks?
Yeah, just run. I mean, if he's so confident in his team, just run him out there, no quarterback. Then we'll see how confident.
I think then we'd have to pay him money regardless if he wins or loses, you know? Oh, man. All right, Stephen, week five is in the books. How did your teams turn out this past week?
Oh, man. So week five in the books. Redraft is really turning the corner here. 3-0 this week after a 2-1 week last week. 8-7 overall, so really turning the corner here. I seem to do this a lot in redraft where I start slow. I really run the waivers and see who I need to pick up, and injuries always help out. Usually for me, and so now 3-0 this week, so it's looking good. Dynasty, again, another mediocre week, 5-5 this week. I do have what I think I consider three rebuild or reloads, 29-25 overall. BJ, what about you?
Redraft, I went 2-1, not 10-1. I went 2-1 with a 10-5 overall record. Lost Jefferson in one league, pretty upset about that, but I know he'll be back. Dynasty, I sat at 4-7 last week with four rebuild / reloads. So I'm sitting at 18-26 overall. I was sitting at six rebuild / reloads, Steven, but I've been making a couple moves in a couple leagues because I am tired of having so many rebuilds. And so I think things are going to turn around in the next couple weeks, man. All right, Steven, let's jump into this thing, man. Let's talk some news and notes.
Yeah, man, let's jump into it. So this week, Jacksonville played their second straight game in London on Sunday morning against a tough Buffalo team, and the Jaguars actually squeaked out a win 25-20. Lawrence had a decent game, but, man, the most impressive player this week to me was Travis Etienne. Man, he finished the game with 36 PPR points. He had a stat line of 26 carries, 136 yards, and two rushing touchdowns. They also added on four receptions for 48 receiving yards, sitting currently as the RB4 on the season and averaging 18.4 points per game. BJ, is Travis Etienne being overlooked with how well he's performing, and where does he rank in your current dynasty rankings?
I think he's absolutely being overlooked, Steven. I think everybody's attention the past couple of weeks has been on Devon Achane and Christian McCaffrey, while Travis Etienne's actually been putting up decent numbers. Yeah. And after watching the game Sunday, man, he looks good, you know. And I think that Jacksonville offense is kind of figuring some things out. But as far as dynasty rankings, I think Travis Etienne's a top five running back right now. You can say what you want. I know that you're a big ETN fan as well, Steven.
I am.
But I do think he was often overlooked, and I think if you bought him the last couple of weeks, which I did in one league, I'm excited about this. I think he's going to be a fantastic back going forward.
Yeah. I think at the end of the year last year, people had hope for him to be, you know, a top five guy, and I myself included, I loved him at the end of last year. I thought he finally started getting usage he needed second half of last season. And then the draft happened, and what did the Jacksonville Jaguars do? They drafted Tank Bigsby. Well, then everybody all of a sudden was like, oh, man, Tank Bigsby's coming in. They're going to do this as a split backfield thing. It's not going to be, you know, Etienne's not going to be what we thought he was. They're going to wind up splitting carries. And I'll be honest, BJ, when the year started, I was as much of an Etienne truther as I was, I kind of bought into that just a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's become clear to me that Etienne is him. He is the guy. And regardless, I think, of how you felt about that situation with Tank, Tank is just a backup. That's what he is right now. He's going to get some carries. He's going to get some looks. He might even you know, vulture a touchdown here or there. But ETN is the guy. 26 rushes, 136 yards, and two rushing touchdowns. It's ETN's backfield.
Agreed.
And you know, as far as dynasty rankings, I mean, I mean, I don't know. I hate to, like, you know, put a number on it, but top six for me, probably, easily, I would think. So, but yeah, I really like what I'm seeing from him, and really like what's going on there. BJ, in his first game without a snap count, we talked about this last week, Breece Hall and the New York Jets beat the Denver Broncos this week, 31-21. Breece finished as the RB3 on the week with 28 PPR points. He had a stat line of 22 carries for 177 rushing yards and one rushing touchdown. He also had three receptions and 17 receiving yards. BJ, do you trust Breece Hall moving forward?
You know, Steven, this New York Jets offense, man, it's kind of hard to figure out which offense is going to show up week by week. You know, 1 week we're down on Zach Wilson, the next week you're right back in, and I completely get it. But as far as Breece Hall, man, he has a tough matchup against Philadelphia this week. Then he has a week 7 bye. I'm going to be honest with you guys, okay? Bye, Breece Hall, if you can. There's not a lot of people out there selling, but I don't expect this Philadelphia game to be a great one for Breece. That Philadelphia defense is pretty stout, and I imagine Philadelphia is going to get up on them. But I absolutely trust Breece Hall as my RB1 going forward. I look at his matchups right now on Sleeper, Steven, in weeks 8 to 12. All 5 weeks look like juicy matchups for the running back position. And so I absolutely trust him. That offense, you know, they are kind of getting a little bit better and stuff. Zach Wilson's starting to kind of play decent. And so Breece Hall, RB1, I like it a lot.
Yeah, I think this team is going to go as this running game can go. It's going to obviously help Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson didn't just have the greatest game this past week, but he was serviceable, and you know, they really got the run game going. And I think it'll do nothing but help Zach Wilson moving forward. But this team in general, this Jet team, is going to go with how Breece Hall goes. And if Breece Hall is healthy and can put up these type of numbers and give him these type of rushes, and the defense plays well, man, I can trust Breece for the rest of the season, in my opinion. The Bengals offense this week had a get-right game against the Cardinals, BJ, and I'm going to say this real quick. My Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase stack finally hit. Week 5, it has finally hit. BJ, in a couple leagues where I stack Burrow and I've got Chase, I finally hit. Those teams have not been doing so well because obviously a couple of my top picks have not been doing well. But this week they had a get right game, and that stack finally hit, and I obviously won this league that week. But Joe Burrow and company led them to a 34-20 victory. Burrow finished as QB8 on the week. He had 317 yards passing and three touchdowns. Chase finished as wide receiver 1 on the week. He had 15 receptions on 19 targets for 192 yards and three touchdowns. The Bengals will hopefully get T. Higgins back in the next few weeks. But, BJ, my question is kind of this. Are the Bengals back?
Man, Steven, I hope so, bro. I'm going to be honest with you. I've got way too many Bengals shares, whether it be T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow. And I am glad they kind of got this game past them. They needed a win. They needed a good offensive production. But, man, 19 targets for Jamar Chase, Steven. That was unheard of for him for a while, you know. And he kind of proves why he's one of the top two dynasty wide receivers out there. And so I'm hopeful for this team. Now, I understand they got a juicy matchup in Seattle this week. Next week they're on a bye. And then after that, they do have some tough matchups with San Francisco as well as Buffalo. But man, Steven, I'm looking at their fantasy playoff schedule right now, man. Week 15, they play Minnesota. Week 16, they play Pittsburgh. Then week 17, championship week, they play Kansas City. I'm hopeful that this team is getting their offense figured out. And as far as being back, if they're not officially there right now, they're on the verge of it. And so I think if you've got one of these pieces on your dynasty team, you're excited about it.
Yeah, man, you got to see. It's good to see Joe Burrow kind of back a little bit. Hopefully the calf thing is you know, on the outs and he's feeling a lot better. Nice to see him and Chase hook back up to do what we knew they could do all along. And I hope you're right, BJ. I hope they are kind of back. The NFL's better with Joe Burrow and company being good, and that's just the truth. Man, the Rams lost Sunday, and even though they did lose against the Eagles in his first game back from a hamstring injury, Cooper Kupp looked like Cooper Kupp, man. He finished the game with 8 receptions on 12 targets. He had 118 receiving yards. For those who are worried about Puka Nacua playing alongside Cooper, really no need to worry anymore about that. He finished the game with 7 catches and 71 yards and had the touchdown. So both Kupp and Nacua finished in the top 12 position this week. BJ, can Matthew Stafford support two fantasy-relevant wide receivers moving forward?
I think he's done it before, Steven. He did it with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp back in the day. And yep. With the two wide receivers right now balling out, man, I know everybody is a Nacua fan. I've seen him ranked as top 12 in some dynasty rankings that I've seen, Steven. But, man, seeing Cooper Kupp get back was a fantastic break for this offense. Honestly, I think the Rams are going to surprise some folks this year, Steven, and I absolutely think that Matthew Stafford can support two fantasy-relevant wide receivers.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, man. I think he can. I think Stafford's shown that he can be obviously a really good fantasy quarterback. And with Kupp and Nacua, just two really big weapons for him. Nacua's just been kind of a surprise, right? I mean, he's just jumped on the scene out of nowhere. And and he looks – I hate to say it, BJ, because I was kind of, you know, iffy on him. But he looks the part, man. He looks really good. So, we'll see going forward. I hope and I think that he can. And obviously, it would be good for fantasy if he can. All right, BJ, this is not a segment I'm looking forward to talking about right here. The dreaded injury bug. It has hit hard this week, BJ. It hit really, really hard. James Conner suffered a knee injury against the Bengals this week, was placed on IR. He will miss at least the next 4 games. BJ, you know, I've seen a lot of people picking up, you know, different running backs and talking about who's the running back to own in Arizona. BJ, before this week, or before this past week, Keontae Ingram had been the second string running back. Now, this past week, he was actually out. I don't know if it was a concussion or if it was just something minor, but he was out. And so Amari DiMercato got the work when Connor went down. And all I've seen is Amari DiMercato waiver wire additions. But I still think Keontae Ingram might be the one you need to own. So just need to kind of monitor that, see what's going on. Keontae Ingram is actually listed as the first running back on the depth chart right now. So just be wary of that. Just kind of keep an eye on that, see what's going to go on there. I still think, you know, is Amari DiMercato worth a pickup? Yeah, he probably is if he's on your wire. But Keontae Ingram is still listed as the first string back right now. And I think he was that before this little injury setback that he had for just one game. So, you know, don't take this Amari DiMercato kind of, you know, whatever he did this past game. You know, again, pick him up, but just kind of watch it. Don't know if I'd be ready to start him just yet. Tank Dell left Sunday's game against the Falcons with a concussion. He's still in concussion protocol, I believe. We'll try to see if he can get back this week. Anthony Richardson, big injury here, suffered a grade 3 AC joint sprain in his throwing shoulder, placed on IR. I think it's actually said he'll miss, I think the report I saw today said 4 to 8 weeks, which is kind of a strange, you know, timeline, but I would probably say they'll err on the side of caution. It'll be closer to that 8-game window as opposed to 4. So he's out for a while. Travis Kelce left the game on Sunday with a low ankle sprain. He later did return and scored a touchdown. The Chiefs play on Thursday night, so short week. Need to monitor Kelce's progress the next 24 hours. BJ, let me talk about Kelce for just a second. Is there a small cliff here that we kind of see in Kelce?
Don't say that, man.
I'm just asking. I'm trying to play devil's advocate here. Is there a small cliff that we're kind of starting to see with Travis Kelce?
Dude is still averaging 9 targets a game, Steven. The biggest thing to take notice of, though, is he hasn't been putting up those 30-point games that you're kind of used to, you know?
Yeah.
So one thing that I will say is this, is that I do think Kelce, he did have that injury week 1, came back from a week 2, suffered the injury last week, made up for the day with a touchdown. I think this offense, man, they've had weapons before in the past. Last year, they played kind of through Kelce. And so, and I don't want to say that he's on that cliff, but I also don't want to say that he's that 30-point guy that he was. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's something to monitor.
Yeah, BJ, as a Kelce truther and a Kelce owner in multiple leagues, and I'm kind of with you. I'm gonna attribute it to this early season knee, you know, flare up, ankle, low ankle here, this past week. But I just don't see right now, like you said, these big games, and those big games kind of come. They really come between the 20s, right? When he catches one across the middle and he runs it for another 30 or 40 yards, and he does that, you know, a couple times a game, and then he catches two touchdowns. That's what gets him up there. But from just watching him and seeing him, his explosiveness isn't where it has been in the past. His separation is not what it is, not what it has been. And again, that run after the catch that we've seen him do so well, he's not really doing at the moment. Does that mean it's over for him, that he can't do that? No, I'm not saying that. I do think that maybe this knee, this knee bruise or knee contusion, whatever he had to start the year, and then obviously this ankle sprain is kind of hindering him too. If he can get right and get healthy, I can see him the second half of the year, maybe putting up those big games again. We'll see. That's what we're hoping for anyway. So, Justin Jefferson, BJ, JJ, Jay Jettas, suffered a hamstring injury this week, being placed on IR, so going to at least miss four games. A lot of people's wide receiver one in redraft and dynasty. And man, BJ, just to be honest, I know nobody wants to talk about it, but with the Vikings losing, I don't know if I expect them to rush Jefferson back to the field, especially if the Vikings continue to lose. BJ, one question here. If you own Justin Jefferson and you need to pick up a receiver, and let's just say you're going to try to go grab the Vikings receiver, who's next on deck? Is it Addison or is it KJ Osborne?
The reports are saying Osborne, but I don't buy into that, Stephen. I'll be honest with you, man. I think Osborne, I don't know that he can handle the volume that Jefferson had. Where I'm looking at the targets kind of being split between is I'm really hoping for some more Addison targets. But man, also, I think TJ Hawkinson is going to get an uptick here. And, you know, Kirk Cousins kind of looked his way early and often a lot of times, especially last year. And so I expect him to gain a couple more targets per game. But as far as the wide receivers to look at, I think Addison's got the talent, man. I think he's a deep threat, and I hope that he can cause some separation.
I agree with you, BJ. I don't think KJ Osborne can handle that. And I think maybe he obviously gets an uptick, but I think this is fixing to become the Jordan Addison show. And that's what I'm hoping for anyway. And that's what I kind of think that's the way they'll go with this, to try to at least, you can't replace Justin Jefferson, but to mitigate his loss, I think Addison's about to try to be that guy. So we'll see. Devin Achane was put on IR today. He had a knee injury. He was put on IR today. He'll be missing at least the next 4 weeks. BJ, if you had Achane and you were rolling there, you know, you got to try to do what you got to do. But as far as that backfield goes, I think it just relegates right back to Mostert. Mostert's the one you want. Jeff Wilson, Mike could get some, you know, work in, but he's not going to be an Achane. I think it's going to be Mostert's backfield. And if you do have Mostert, or if you can go trade for Mostert, if you're a win now, do that. You could probably get Mostert, you know, fairly cheap, especially from somebody that may be rebuilding. But Mostert's the one you want there, especially for the next 4 weeks. Olave dealing with a toe injury. He has had a bad couple of games. He did play the entire game. It shouldn't affect him moving forward. Olave, in my opinion, BJ, as being a Saints fan, he's got to work on his concentration. He's got to work on his hands a little bit. He hasn't looked the best over the past couple weeks, just in those couple aspects. Maybe it's just, you know, second year rookie, you know, kind of, I don't know, second year, not rookie, but second year player coming in and just not seeing what he needs to see. I don't know. But just a little bit of, you know, lacks of focus, I guess. So need to see better from him on that. But as far as injury wise, shouldn't affect him moving forward. You should be able to put him in your lineups if you're comfortable with that. Last little bit of injuries here. Daniel Jones did leave the game Sunday with a neck injury after being sacked for the 400th time this year. I'm sorry. It's not suspected to be severe. His status for week six is questionable. BJ, I'm turning it over to you for our sneaky flex plays of the week.
Well, Steven, you know, one of us killed it last week, man. And it was not me. So let's take a minute real quick and recap. Steven's Adam Thielen finished as the wide receiver 4 on the week. But guys, if you ain't starting Adam Thielen right now, what are you doing? Okay. He finished the week with 27.7 PPR points with a stat line of 11 receptions for 107 yards and 1 touchdown. Also, Steven, side note real quick, man, I was really impressed with Bryce Young last week. After a horrendous week 4 game, he actually kind of bounced back a little bit in week 5. My Wandale Robinson, the guy that I did research on and touted up, finished the week as the wide receiver 54 with a stat line of 5 receptions. That ain't bad. 18 yards after leaving the game with a concussion. So we're going to blame that on the concussion, Steven. That's what we're going to do. This week, I'm going to go ahead and start this thing off, Steven.
Do it.
My sneaky flex play this week is Gabe Davis from the Buffalo Bills. Steven actually went and looked at my leagues, man, and all the people who have Gabe Davis, and a couple of them there, and he's not in their starting lineup, man. And it's not because their teams are just fantastic. I think a couple of people were actually kind of worried to start him. If Gabe Davis is not in your starting lineup, he needs to be, even if it's just a flex option. Davis just finished his week 5 game with his best fantasy production of the year with 22 PPR points with a stat line of 6 receptions, 100 yards, 1 touchdown. But I think the most impressive part of this game was that he saw 8 targets, Steven. The Bills faced an easily exposable Giants team in week 6 at home. I expect Davis to continue putting up 10-plus PPR points as he has been for the last couple of weeks, and he needs to be in your lineup. Okay, obviously Josh Allen is throwing darts to Stephon Diggs every single week. That connection has been fantastic, but also he's looking Davis's way a decent amount. So I think he's a plug and play.
Yeah, I think Davis is clearly the wide receiver 2 there. And I do think people are kind of skeptical of plugging him in. I think because of probably what he did last year, he'd have some good weeks and then just some absolute duds, and he'd have a good week and then just an absolute dud. But it's kind of becoming clear that he is the wide receiver 2 there. It's not Isaiah McKenzie. It's not any one of those tight ends. It's not, you know, anybody else. It's Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. And that's kind of what I've gathered. And I do agree with you. I think he needs to be plugged into every lineup every week. Just unless you have a better option, which, you know, you're probably loaded if you do. BJ, my sneaky flex play this week is Roschon Johnson. With Khalil Herbert going down, it's likely that Roschon will be in line to take on a much bigger role. The Vikings are allowing 111 rushing yards per game. They're also allowing 32 rushing attempts per game. I'm not sure what I really expect script-wise with Justin Jefferson going down. The Vikings are 1-4, not playing great. The Bears seem to be playing better. So if that holds true and the Bears are up, then they may be running the ball with Roschon Johnson. So we'll see. I still really don't know what to expect because I think the Vikings are better than 1-4. But we'll see. I don't know, but I do expect Johnson to be the main beneficiary of this Herbert injury. And I think that he can put up fine flex play numbers this week, BJ.
Now, so I know one thing to kind of monitor as well, Steven. I know that as of today, he was still in concussion protocol. I think that he does get elevated and kind of gets out of that before the game starts on Sunday. I will say this, even if he's out, do you trust Deontay Foreman to take that workload?
No.
Okay, great. All right, so Roschon or bust. That's what we're doing. all right, Steven, I agree with you, man, though. I think Roschon is a very, very talented running back, and I hope that he gets an opportunity to kind of help carry some of this load in this backfield.
Well, look, it was preseason. I mean, nobody knew if it was going to be Khalil Herbert or Roschon Johnson's job. That's how close they were. So obviously, if Roschon Johnson's healthy and he can get through concussion protocol, which I think he will, like you said, I do think he's going to be the one to be a beneficiary of this and could be a fine flex play for you.
Absolutely, man. All right, Steven, we're getting into this underdog segment, man. I want to be honest with you, though, Steven. I'm enjoying my view from the bench in this segment. So you just keep doing your thing, man. Keep hitting.
All right, BJ. Well, I'll let you sit over there and enjoy the ride. Enjoy the view, man. This past week, I went 2-0 again. Had a clean sweep, back-to-back weeks clean sweep. Sam Howell over 239.5 passing yards was a hit with a measly 388 passing yards. DJ Moore over four receptions, a hit with eight receptions. DJ Moore went off, by the way.
Yes, it did.
DJ Moore went absolutely off. Anyway, that's not here or there. But anyway, BJ, like you said, we're going to let you enjoy this from the bench. So 2-0 this past week, guys. Look, we're going to try to keep this thing rolling. I'm getting a little crazy this week, BJ. I'm getting a little crazy, BJ, on a Thursday night. We're going to go with my top three plays for Thursday night this week. So put you a Thursday night slip in for the game Thursday night. My first one here is Isaiah Pacheco over 16.5 rushing attempts. BJ, Denver is allowing a whopping 31.5 rushing attempts per game this year. I obviously expect Kansas City to be dominating, and I expect Pacheco to easily hit this number, being the brute back, being the guy that comes in and gets the tough yards, being the guy that comes in and runs that clock down. I think Pacheco easily hits this over 16.5 rushing attempts. My second play of the week here on a Thursday night is Russell Wilson over 33.5 passing attempts. Now, I know that number feels high, and it is high, but Kansas City is allowing 34.5 passing attempts per game, and this game is likely going to be played from behind by the Broncos the entire night, so I expect Russ to be throwing. I expect the Broncos to be losing. I expect them to be throwing and throwing a lot. My only worry about a line like this is, are they losing so bad that Russell Wilson gets pulled? That'd be my only worry here, but I expect Russ to go over this line of 33.5 passing attempts. And BJ, my last pick of the week for this Thursday night three-man slip, Patrick Mahomes over 274.5 passing yards. BJ, Denver is allowing 285.5 passing yards per game. They're going against the best quarterback in the league. It's not close to me. I think for a minute there, people were like, is Josh Allen better? Is Justin Herbert better? You know, can Joe Burrow take? No, you can't. They can't. Because Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. And I expect Patrick Mahomes and company to destroy this Denver defense. I expect Patrick Mahomes to go over this number. Give me the over of 274.5 passing yards this week, BJ. That's my three-man slip for Underdog this week. We're looking for a clean sweep, BJ.
I like it, man. Hey, just a heads up, too. I just looked on Underdog, Steven. The Russell Wilson line has dropped to 32.5 passing attempts.
There you go.
32. So in your favor there. And Patrick Mahomes has dropped to 268.5.
Okay.
And so I like it, Steven.
Yeah. I mean, so you need to jump in on those. When I was doing my research today, I liked these numbers here at what I'm telling you they are. So if they're dropping, you need to jump on them now.
I like it. All right, guys. Hey, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode, give you a quick one on a Thursday morning to try to get this thing in before the Thursday night football. I expect the Chiefs to go out there and smoke the Denver Broncos like they should. But we want to take this time and just thank our listeners. We appreciate each and every one of you guys. We appreciate you guys interacting with us as well as just listening to the podcast. We hope that you support us each and every week that we produce these episodes. Also, go check us out on Twitter. My handle is at AfroDynamics116. Stevens is at SDeaton24. And the pods is at LOL Dynasty Pod. Guys, we got week 6 coming up, man. We are officially over a third of the way of this season. So, man, I hope that you're making your moves. Like we always say, evaluate your team. If you're out, you're out. Rebuild. If you're in, you're in. Compete. And, guys, we hope that you make the moves to accomplish your goal of a dynasty championship and leave your mark. We hope that you guys have a good week.